The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, joined this week for Winners and Sinners by Elaine Burke, presenter of the Over Tech's Sake podcast. You're both very welcome. Are you going to be up early in the morning, oasising?
I'm starting my show half an hour early for an Oasis special, not to drive people away from News Talk.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. A half hour early.
The Alison Anton Wars continue.
He has an odd patch now because I'm starting so early tomorrow. We're starting.
He's in a blur show.
Yeah, he's in a blur show. Oh, I
would. Yeah, you should do. That's a great idea. Contrive a big kind of beef.
Call him up now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're starting half an hour early so that we can get people. It's all Oasis tracks on the station to get them ready for their ticket queuing.
Entertain them while they're constantly online for a long time in that queue.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever seen them live?
No, but I would be a fan.
Yeah. I've seen an Oasis tribute act as well.
Oh, yeah. Which one? Noasis?
Oh, I actually don't think it was one of the bigger
really
ones.
That yeah, one, yeah, Noasis.
Yeah. They're an Irish one.
It's so clever. Like,
I can't actually remember their name. Isn't that terrible? But they were fun. But I'm actually going to the heart of the story tomorrow. I'm going to Manchester. I'm up early for a flight to Manchester. Not to cover the story, no. I'm going for the festival.
I had you there. What music festival are you going to?
Psych Fest. A lot of like smaller acts across different venues across Manchester just for one day.
All right, yeah. Cool.
A lot easier to get tickets to that.
It won't be any easier to get Oasis tickets in the UK though, will it?
Well,
they have more dates available. And now what's interesting is the price points. So your Manchester and London dates are the most expensive ones. And then you've got Cardiff and Edinburgh and Dublin are in and around the same price point. I think there might be £1 in the difference in them. So what that means is the international base is probably going to be competing for the tickets in those venues because they're cheaper tickets. So that actually probably inflates the competition for tickets now in Dublin.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not Oasis, actually, your winner of the week. It's all the people making money off the back of them.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Oasis are among that. So Noel and Liam are set to make reportedly £50 million each.
Would well believe that.
And that's for this part of the tour. Like, we don't know yet. Is there going to be a European tour?
Grow,
is there going to be a US tour? Like, there's still, you know, speculation around how big they can make this. And if they make it really big, you're talking, you know, you could have your Coldplay level and Taylor Swift level of kind of economics around a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, you know, obviously the hoteliers will do well out of this, but anyone in the local economies of Dublin, Edinburgh, Cardiff, Manchester, London will do well out of this just from fans being there. Like, this will draw in international fan bases. People need places to stay. They will then be like eating out and doing all sorts of things. And like, we've seen the impact of things like Swiftonomics and what this can do for like local economies. But it's already been seen that they're raising prices for everything as well. It actually can impact inflation. There's a theory that Taylor Swift impacted UK inflation because of her tours. So.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there going to be extra gigs? Do you think there's going to be multiple nights in Croke Park?
I've a debate with someone
Much
who
to
knows
the joy of the Croke Park I Residents know. Association.
Well, at least I don't have to sit through four nights of Coldplay. But anyway, I was talking to someone in the know.
Salty.
And they think five dates in total for Oasis. I'm thinking four.
All right.
Because
okay.
There's rumour that U2 have blocked some dates there next year as well.
Oh,
there you go.
Inside track now. I like this. Do you begrudge them raising the prices though? Like, you know, hotels.
Yeah, I do. Because you're talking like in Dublin, especially, hotel prices are already insane. And then someone now alleges that they took a screenshot before the announcement and then after the announcement. Because I don't know if you know this, Alison, but there was a leak of those dates. Some people knew the dates.
Yes,
were coming
up.
So they got a head start on it. And that screenshot shows the prices were 100 to 200 euro in the Dublin location, and then, you know, within a few hours they were 300, 400 euro in the Dublin location, so 3 to 4 times the price. They're already high price hotels. Like, it's just, it's really
and
frustrating
Airbnbs
and it happens all
of
the time. Yeah, any events like this, like actually today as well, the Eurovision just announced that Basel is going to be the host city. I guarantee you prices in Basel just rocketed for May next year. Now, we don't know yet the dates in the Eurovision is going to be on, but again, fans will know around when it's going to be, and they might do bookings where they put a hold on different weeks.
But what's different here, I guess, is that like in somewhere like Basel, and I remember I saw Paul McCartney playing in I was either, he was either in Leipzig and I was in Dresden or vice versa. The point is the trains run to like midnight or one or two in the morning.
I went to Europe
so
this
people
year.
Could stay in any number of cities around as well and go there, whereas you're kind of confined to
maybe Kilkenny's going to do really well at these Croke Park gigs.
Yes, run the train to Kilkenny. Run the train to Kilkenny. Anyway, we wish everybody the best of luck trying to get those tickets. Alison, who's your winner of the week?
It's Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, yeah?
You would know. I mean, the thing is, most people know her as Mom from Home Alone, but she is so much more than that.
Moira Rose.
She, exactly. Moira Rose. So Beetlejuice is out on the 6th of September around then in Ireland. And it is the 36 years on from the classic Beetlejuice. And it stars Catherine O'Hara. And she's doing the circuit, as is Winona Ryder, Michael Keaton, all those guys together. And Jenna Ortega is now part of the cast. She's the daughter of Winona Ryder's character. And Catherine just looks amazing. She turned 70. She wore in Venice this, I don't know if you saw it actually, it is an Oscar de la Renta. I know this is radio, sorry. But it's like a sheer, almost plastic, like firm contraption of a dress. But it looks like a bunch of snakes coming out of her. It is just... Did you see it?
No, but
oh,
I want to see it.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's very Moira Rose.
Oh,
and of course, she was Moira Rose, which is one of the greatest TV characters ever created, Schitt's Creek, all of that stuff. And I just think she's led like a really interesting life for someone like who, you know, she, you would argue she is a household name, but there's a lot of people who know her face maybe more than her name. But she is just such a brilliant like actress in comedy. And I just think she's led this incredibly interesting life and she's just maintained. From the core, she's like, I'm just a good Catholic girl. Like, she's...
That's the dress there.
Oh, isn't that remarkable?
She looks... It's very Beetlejuice as well.
She just turned
70. Fantastic.
Reminds me of the scene in The Name of the Father, you know, when he takes the tape out, the cassette tape out, and he goes... Blah, 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 and starts running around his head.
It You're not doing it justice.
No, it does.
It does look a bit like
That's
cassette tape material.
That you won't be able to unsee that now, Alison. You just see Jerry Conlon wrapping that cassette tape around
That's
his
so
head.
That's so beautiful.
That's all you can
but
see.
But I just think she's hilarious. And do you know all the mockumentaries that were made with Christopher Guest, like The Mighty Wind and
Best in Show. She's so
good. Do you know those?
No.
Oh my God, that's your weekend sorted. You have to watch
Great
them.
Great weekend viewing. Okay.
And then report back the next time we're sitting opposite each other here.
Okay.
They're just perfection. And she is amazing in it. And the character of Moira Rose like is the most one of the most original characters I've ever seen. And she
had a huge amount of input into that.
Yeah. So, they're like, how did a friend of mine interviewed her and they're like, where did that accent come from? And she's like, the secret to it is inconsistency. So she just keeps going up and down and all the words that she says. And she's bananas, but she's great. And she's Canadian. So I'm very proud of her.
Had she a career lull after...
But well,
Home
no,
alone.
She can't. See, that's the thing. She constantly was kind of working away at different things.
Yeah.
Like, but wasn't that like was never the main character in a lot of things. So that's why I think people are kind of like, and like Home Alone arguably is like the most commercial thing she ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Beetlejuice as well. But I mean, I just think the cast for Beetlejuice, like I'm so excited. It's my favorite time of year. Halloween's the best day of the year. And it's Tim Burton. And I just think the cast coming back and how she speaks about the aging and seeing people again and introducing Jenna and some other, it just looks incredible.
Are you worried though?
No, I've
really?
Seen so much of it. And a colleague of mine saw it yesterday.
Oh.
It was amazing. So,
oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, because very jealous. They are interviewing Catherine. And I was thinking of just knocking him off and posing opposite him to say, I want to interview her.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love her. So, yeah, no, I think she's great.
Would you be worried at all about going back to...
Like, I see
tinker with something.
All the posters for it and I'm like, why does this exist? But also I'm absolutely going to pay money to see it. Like,
totally.
I am a huge fan of Beetlejuice. Like, I was only a baby when it first came out, but we watched
it a lot at home.
Anytime it was on television because, you know, we didn't have on-demand streaming back
then.
That
spin-off cartoon felt like it went on for years afterwards.
Yeah, and like, we had the figures. We had the figures.
Yeah.
He could take his head off and he had the little tiny green head. And
did you?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We had merchandise
Lucky
and everything.
You.
Yeah, we were really into Beetlejuice and... It's such a great character. And the fact that Michael Keaton is back is really important. The fact that Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder are back. If they weren't involved, I wouldn't be interested, I don't think.
I would
have
So I think that's actually really important to it.
It's going to be
and
brilliant.
Like, the trailers do look amazing. It
so
actually looks like they pulled
the
it off.
Original film for 17 minutes.
Yes, I
and
heard this the other day.
17 minutes this time around.
Is he?
As well.
Is that all?
That's wild.
But it's just so, like, it's so iconic. And it's just... the most bananas character, and he does it so well.
But it's like the I just heard this recently, Hannibal Lecter, obviously one of the most iconic characters ever, and he is barely in that film.
Yeah. He was nominated for Best Actor.
I think he's the shortest time.
Yes, so it's about look.
Sorry, I stole.
We're
that.
All simpatico. Like
fun fact.
I didn't know it about Michael Keaton and Beetlejuice because he is that film.
Yeah,
incredible.
No, it's incredible.
Allison, what's on the show this weekend? Well, you told us. Tomorrow it's like an Oasis extravaganza.
Also, you and I mirrored each other a lot this week with guests.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, I guess he got to them before me. So Rashida is
great.
But it's kind of a full circle because she was on with us in May. So it's nice to catch up with her. And Spencer Matthews. So we had the same people on.
And actually, here's how the sausage is made. I literally took a screen grab of your Instagram and sent it to the team here last weekend. And I said, get Spenny on the show on Tuesday when he finishes his thingy. He's doing media. And it was Alison talking to him. Brilliant.
I was impressed by him. As a sidebar, like a lot of people are like,
someone texted in, right?
And same.
And to our show, and they said, Spencer Matthews comes across as a guy I really want to hate, but I can't.
Maybe we have the exact same listeners because I got very much like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to disagree.
I think that's a shared sentiment. Yeah. I think that's fairly
and
common.
And I was kind of the same too. And then I was like, I really like him.
Yeah, everything about him on paper,
that's
you think.
That's a pretty incredible achievement though.
Yeah.
Like, you can't deny that. Like, that's even unbelievable. I still can't get over that any individual does a marathon.
Let alone
from
30,
sitting on the sofa
in 40-degree heat.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it sounded absolutely awful. Anyway, so lots coming up on the show this weekend. Elaine, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is public transport for disabled people. To put it quite simply, if I had to kind of put it into one word, and
But anyway.
But I'm sure you heard Tanny Gray Thompson.
Yes. It's an awful story.
Oh my God. And the sinner is obviously the people who left her stuck on a train and had to crawl off of it. She's a wheelchair user, also happens to be a very medalled Paralympian. She's a wheelchair racer and was trying to make her way to the Paris Paralympics.
I don't know this story.
So she was stuck on a train because this happens quite a lot, actually, unfortunately, with wheelchair users and trains. It happens in Ireland as well, where they will need assistance getting off the train because getting the wheelchair off the train onto the platform can be too difficult to do alone.
Yeah.
And she was left there, was tweeting about being left there and eventually had to crawl off the train. And she even said, she's like, the fact that I was even able to do that, some people in wheelchairs wouldn't even have the faculty to be able to do that. And it's just kind of highlighting something that happens way too often. It doesn't just happen to Paralympians on the way to the Paralympics. Mm. It happens every day. And there's things like you have to book ahead and you can't do anything so spontaneous when you're a wheelchair user when it comes to transport usage. You have to have all of these systems in place to help you. And that's kind of like, she says that that's actually more humiliating than having to crawl off the train sometimes, is to need to beg people to arrange that I can use your train service that's meant to be available for public use. Like everyone else can just turn up on the day and decide, I'll get the train at this time or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like that for wheelchair users. And then when she spoke out about it and raised this discussion, people trolled her and were like, what were you expecting traveling on a bank holiday? And what are you doing traveling alone? No. You shouldn't be traveling independently.
You shouldn't be traveling alone.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be traveling independently and you should probably just be at home. These are the kind of responses she got. So they're the real sinners, like people who actually took that
moment
and responded in that way. Like, what the hell is wrong
so
with people?
So powerful behind the keyboard. Would anybody actually say that to people?
Yeah, it's not like they expect, you know, the same amount of seats for a wheelchair user as there are for able. You know, they're not, like, it's not unreasonable kind of demand. It's just like, you know, like I spoke to some, you know, Jimbo's Accessible Adventures. You ever talk to that guy, James? He's great and his mum is great. And they go kind of all over the place and they just documented online their experience. Mm-hmm. And some of it really good experiences, you know, and they acknowledge, like when they're good and they say it. But sometimes, like the one situation that I remember they told me about was, you needed this kind of special key on the bus to get a ramp down and it delayed the bus for about an hour and everyone is getting irate with them, you know what I mean?
God,
I'm meant to be going somewhere and what are we doing? And then eventually they get the ramp down and they drive off and they were going to Wexford from Dublin. They got to Wexford, realised when they got there they had left the key to do the ramp down in Dublin.
I've heard of issues like this with manual systems and bus drivers where sometimes the bus drivers aren't fully trained on how to actually troubleshoot if something goes wrong with the ramps and stuff like that, and everyone is stuck on the bus and it's just a disaster. And again, like people kind of tend to turn on the wheelchair user. then because they're, it's their fault.
Or what happens,
that everything
sometimes they get trained when they're training, when they do their license or whatever to drive Dublin Bus or Bus Air or whatever. And then they haven't used it for 2 or 3 years. Yeah. So whatever route they're on, it's never, and then suddenly they have to use it. They're like, oh, I can't remember how to do this.
And it's like, it's something that, like, as an able-bodied person, like, I find it's really helpful to hear from other people's experiences and to think about these things in your day-to-day life. Like, Sinead Burke does a lot of work in this area as well. She's a little person and she just talks about things like, you know, hand dryers being at a height that she can access is quite important to her. Sinks being at a height that she can access. And also it makes them accessible for younger people and little kids and stuff like that as well. So, like, you know, it expands accessibility in many different ways when you think these things through. And even when you look at wheelchair users, and like, I look at paths all the time differently now and think like, God, if I was
a
wheelchair user.
Up on paths.
And like, when you go to abroad and there's scooters, those rented scooters littered everywhere in like the likes of Berlin and stuff like that. And I'm like, what do wheelchairs do when they're going on here? And even like people with buggies would have similar difficulties, but they, you know, not the same kind of challenges. So it's just like these improvements actually help more people as well. And they're just a good thing to be thinking of and considering in, you know, building planning, urban planning. To be totally frank, like, our populations are all aging. Like, a lot of us are actually going to be probably wheelchair users in our later life, and it's going to be quite common
because
abilities will degrade over time and things may happen to you. We're all living longer, but like, you live longer with certain assistance.
Well, that was said to us when we did our bathroom renovation, and I was like, I don't like tubs, and like, don't get one because in years to come you're not going to be able to step into that. I'm like, what? Like,
oh no. And you bought one of those bathtubs with the door in it,
like,
and the seat.
Like a little chair going up the stairs.
If you want a chic but long term bathroom, get a wet room.
That's what we did.
Yeah. Oh, genius. Well done.
Future proofing.
Yeah.
I like it. Who's your sinner of the week, Alison?
School lunches.
Oh.
God damn it.
I thought you'd be past them.
Well, not really.
In secondary school, they're not kind of... I don't know what I thought, maybe.
So, like, they don't
go
have
home
American
and have a pot noodle
style.
Every day, like I did.
She can't do that. She's too far. They don't have a canteen in the school.
Okay.
So the irony is our mutual friend, Ashley Larkin, was on last weekend. Loads of great ideas. Always amazing. Tried a few. So what I'm getting is a few things now, and a lot of parents are getting this as well. You can't have food that potentially could be stinky breath afterwards, because we're very, everybody at this age, my daughter just started, everyone's very concerned about everything. Hygiene, appearance, everything. So I'm like, okay, all right, so that rules out all of that. Can't have this, can't have that. And a lot of people are going through this as well. And the day is an hour on either side longer now. So before I was like, okay, she wasn't great at finding time to eat at school, but at least it was like a short time.
She'd be home.
Yeah, but now it's longer. And I'm like, God, I don't know. Like, this week was... I grocery shopped every single day this week and I still didn't hit on any winners, and I'm just eating it. So that's bad for me. So I'm like, damn it.
So what did you try?
So Loves, that I really hope this doesn't come back to her because I'm always getting in trouble now if I talk about her. Loves a roll with like just butter. So I was like, that's easy. And like, kind of, they don't
like
want
like a baguette with butter.
Yeah. So they don't want like
my daughter loves
huge foods either. Right. Like, it's all about, you know, little tiny bits. That didn't go anywhere. An apple came back.
You
every
gave
day.
Her a massive 2 foot long baguette. The huge, big, long
and
ones.
She loves like chicken tikka, but I can't put that in because it's your breath. And I was just like, oh God. So I ended up doing, unfortunately, a little bit of processing, like processed foods, like a flapjack and like little things. But I do get the feeling there was A, first week excitement, and B, I don't think they're getting a lot of time. So to eat.
Did you not get an hour for lunch?
No. I think it's half an hour. So But yeah.
So
school lunches.
Small. And beige. Yeah. It's basically what she's
saying. It has to be kind of, not just her now, in fairness, it's a lot
of them.
So it's like, it has to be that kind of like little bits on the go, like bento boxy kind of thing.
Okay.
A work in progress.
Okay, listen, we'll be back. Elaine and Alison staying with me for the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
Elaine Burke and Alison Curtis are both still with me. Actually, we were talking about Oasis earlier because you've got your extravaganza happening tomorrow, Alison. Yeah. So what's happening tonight? This pre-sale thing, I don't understand it. So this is like...
I think the people involved in it also don't quite understand it. It is very complicated and confusing. And it's like it's actually like a lottery to even get access to the pre-sale. And you had to register to get a chance to be added to the lottery. And if you didn't register in time, you also didn't have a chance to get the chance to get the chance.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, but that's in the UK and here.
Yeah.
And if you did register,
And if you successfully registered,
you went into a draw to...
Yeah, and you will then have... You should be informed as of 5 p.m. whether you were successful in securing your place for the pre-sale. That's just a confirmation that you are eligible for pre-sale.
Okay.
And then you will get an email that will give you an access link. The access link will be unique to your email, so you can't pass it around or sell it on someone. If someone is trying to sell you a pre-sale access link, that is a scam. Be very, very aware of scams that are going to arise in the next 24 hours around these sales. So yeah, these links will then give you access to the pre-sale. And then I think you still have to, you know, join a queue and see if you actually get through to the pre-sale. So it's all, there are so many ways in which this process is going to raise expectations and disappoint people. Like, it sounds highly stressful.
It's not the same as Taylor, but similar. But that didn't work out for so many people because they wanted it to go to fans, like, directly. And it just, like, the pre-sale code, and it just didn't. Like, people.
And is this just a data harvesting thing? Or is it just a, like, a kind of psychological marketing? Create more hype. There's not, like days of hype in a row.
I think there are some genuine efforts to try and make sure as many tickets get into the hands of fans as possible here. Because, like, only the most dedicated people are going to be sitting on their email for the next 24 hours waiting to see when an alert comes in to jump on it straight away for that pre-sale or something like that. So there are efforts in that way, but they do seem to have bungled some things on their own side technically. I mean, the extension of, like, the access to the ballot was made, and then the extension to the time in which you were going to be told you got access to the pre-sale has been made, and now it's kind of a small window before the actual general sale happens. So,
but Oasis,
it's very intense.
On their X account, they're very...
Definitely didn't have to go through this in July 2000 when I went to them in Lansdowne Road.
But they're very kind of open with it all. Like, they're tracking it, like, almost in live time, saying if this is the stage you're at with the ticket process, this is what's happening, and ticket prices and stuff.
They are genuinely being very informative.
They are actually
really good.
Yeah,
they're on top of the communications, at least.
And for people who didn't kind of register in time to be in with a chance to get into a chance of a lottery, and they're just kind of going to try and buy one tomorrow morning, what's it's 8 o'clock Irish time.
Yeah.
So how early before that should you? Is there any value to logging in before 7:59?
To be logged in, yes.
Oh, all right, okay.
To just have your account logged in, to just skip a few of those steps. And actually, I would say if you don't have a Ticketmaster account, set one up now. Don't be setting that up tomorrow morning.
And remember your password. And account. Jess Kelly on this very radio station was saying all of that. So yeah, set it up, and as best you can, and I believe Jess in everything she says, it's safe to have your card details attached to the account and do that as well. So you're not trying to input that.
And not doing it in a panic and then getting a digit wrong.
And then, what do you do at 8 o'clock? Like, as in, do you just start frantically clicking it?
I think you click. I mean, Jess's advice again is not to keep refreshing. Right?
It's more like you can absolutely keep refreshing the page, but don't do it at a rate at which it's going to signal you being a bot.
Oh, okay.
So don't refresh the page.
But this is just to get in the queue.
This is just to refresh the page so that when they go live, it goes live on your screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you are online, say, before 8 a.m., it's not going to go live until 8 a.m. and your screen may take time to refresh at 8 a.m. So you're better off refreshing the page 7:59 and then a couple of times up to 8 a.m. or something like that, but not too
And then
much.
It appears,
and, definitely do
and
not
then
refresh
it goes like, bang, I want two tickets or four tickets, whatever it happens to be, and you're in the queue. Don't refresh then.
Never refresh if you're in the queue. You will lose your place and you'll end up with a new place in the queue that will not be the place that you had. Even if you're a low number, like, you're not going to get a better number by refreshing. If you're in the queue, you're in the queue. It is a queuing system.
If you give it a good log in, does it tell you where you are in the queue?
Yeah, no, it'll give you a number.
Who would you get into a queue for?
I don't know who I get in the queue for. Like, if not Oasis, I don't, like, that would be
they
probably...
They can't tempt you.
Yeah, if they can't tempt me.
There has to be a documentary about this tour.
Oh, yeah,
because
definitely.
Because the Blur tour got a documentary, the Stone Roses reunion tour got a documentary. Yep. Both of them had tensions in the ranks during those tours. The Stone
and
Roses tour had walkouts.
They're way more entertaining. The two of them are hilarious.
If they're not negotiating a documentary right now, they will be. Like, that's definitely
It's just going to be so nostalgic. It will be awesome. And I do eventually hope I do get tickets to one of the gigs.
But they can
do
the documentary
and then they'll do
screenings of the documentary that will be very kind of overblown and stuff like that as well. Like, I know that some of the Blur screenings were a big deal. To even just get tickets to the cinema screening of the documentary was a big deal. So, like, this is going to carry on.
They're going to be fine.
August next year.
Yeah. They'll survive. Those guys will be okay. So that is happening in the next few minutes is the pre-sale, I think is what it is. Anyway, 7 o'clock and then 8 o'clock tomorrow is when tickets proper go on sale. Social media bans, you want to talk about before we go?
I do. Why? Yeah. I have so many problems with this proposed social media ban. I don't even know where to begin with what's wrong with it. So, I mean, okay.
This was Stephen Donnelly's big announcement. People are under 16, not going to be on social media. We're going to ban them.
We're going to ban them. First question, how? How are you going to do that in a way that's actually going to be effective and have any real reckoning on it? Because I can tell you now, like when it comes to the tech around this stuff, even content that you definitely do not want children to access, like pornography, they still haven't totally figured this stuff out. Mm-hmm. So the how is a big question that doesn't seem to be answered by these big bombastic statements of we're just going to ban it, because this is not as simple as you just find some shops for selling them it or something like that. This is so much more complex. Then there's like calling this a root cause of mental health crises among children when you've got, okay, in the news every day we are seeing children being killed. That's probably a cause of a mental health crisis among children. There's a record number of children homeless in this country. I'm sure that's a source
that's a contributor.
Of mental health problems. There's a severe underfunding of CAMHS in this country. That's definitely a contributor to mental health crises among children. Can we talk about that, please, instead of banning social media? Which they do point to research that talks about the ill effects of social media on certain users. And there is research that backs
definitely,
that up.
Definitely, and more
there
growing,
is.
Yeah.
There's also research that backs up the positive impacts of online usage and gaming and communicating online. And
connection.
Just, yeah, all because this, get real, this is how these kids socialize today.
I do understand it being a problem in schools and definitely having a little bit more control about all of that.
No
definitely.
Problem with them saying, but, like, you shouldn't have your device in school.
And we all know
that
throughout history and time, if you ban something, that goes so well. Prohibition, all that stuff. It's like, if you ban it, you're making it that much more.
And we know there's a certain amount of infections when it comes to, say, like, you know, you're not supposed to smoke or drink under certain ages, but like they're minimized by the structures that we have in place because you still have to get hold of a physical product.
Yes.
Because these aren't physical products sold in physical shops or anything like that, it's very different. Like, it's not really going to have any material effect, I don't think.
Mm.
And like, talking about the positive uses as well, like, if you aren't going to teach these kids how to live online well, when that is the reality that we live in now, online is not a different universe. It's our world now.
Yeah.
But like, you're not going to train them on good media literacy. You're not going to change them on good online behavior. They're going to be worse off. And there's already some adults that are really bad at this.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not,
agreed.
It's not that you turn 16 and suddenly you're good at being online.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, I know plenty of teenagers who are way more responsible in their usage of these platforms than some adults. So, like, the age actually is kind of irrelevant here.
You follow me, do you? You see my account?
Shocking stuff. Shocking.
You should. You see, she could be talking to Spencer Matthews. You think, I'm going to talk to Spencer Matthews. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Anyway, listen, good luck to everybody who is going to try and get a ticket in the pre-sale in the next few minutes and for Oasis tomorrow morning. If you don't get it, like you say, Alison officially confirmed, exclusive here in the Hard Shoulder. Four more gigs coming up.
Don't hold me to
at least, she said. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast today, FM, on that little bit earlier, and an Oasis extravaganza tomorrow morning. Elaine Burke, presenter of the Over Tech's Sake podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.